Hey, there's boys and girls, moms and dads, children of all ages, ships at sea, and boats that float in Texas. And speaking of boats that float in Texas, we got Tom Fisher in line. From what I understand, he's just leaving Texas. So we're going to find out what happened over there in Texas and how everything went. Tom, can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Okay, good deal. So what was going on in Texas? All of a sudden one day, poof, you decide you're going to be Lone Star.
Well, I also contracted with a company out of Texas called Cat 5, and they do the first response drilling and upkeep and generators on the cell towers for all the first response, and then also for the cell phones. Anyhow, we've been doing that for years and years and years. Whenever there's a, we do all storms. We do ice, real bad ice storms, anything that bucks power out. Once power goes out, generators kick on, and they got to be fueled every 24 hours or else they don't run either. And then EMS can't talk, and first response can't talk, and you can't talk, and everything was bad.
So you went over there to work on cell towers and stuff. How was it?
I'm still here.
Oh, yeah.
And we don't plan on getting back anytime soon.
So
it's horrible. It's horrible over here. I just left the Texas-Mexico border, which is fine out there. We just had to, you know, the towers are connected like a chain. If you got one link out, well, it messes up the whole system. And anyhow, so we have to check a lot of stuff that's dry. But we've been, I've been stationed since last Friday down in Houston. And then Corpus Christi in San Antonio. We've been making that loop right there and getting in as deep as we can and getting things going. We run them on airboats. We're doing...
I was going to say, how are you getting to some of these cell towers?
We're mostly using trucks, but once the water gets, you know, too deep for the trucks to roll anymore, then we start using airboats.
Did you take
an
airboat?
We've actually used... I didn't bring one with me. We have four or five here that we use.
Okay.
Matt brought his. So we use the airboats, but then we also on the deeper ones and the more destructive places and the more dangerous places, we use helicopters. So
now, did the phone company, were they smart enough to elevate the generators up off the ground?
Some do, some don't. It depends on the site, the tower, and the flood level.
So, did you...
You gotta understand, this isn't like a yearly occurrence, it's not a normal flood. This is the highest the water's ever been in Texas, ever.
Right.
And it's 4 feet over that. It didn't just break the record set back in whatever, 2022. It broke it by 4 feet.
So, now...
There's not a lot of preparedness you can do for that.
No, but are a lot of these set up high? I mean, did they, like, build
some
platforms and put generators up there?
Oh, yeah. Some of them are, I've filled them on top of skyscrapers before, and I've set them stanchions where they're, most of them that are elevated and raised can be 20, 40, 60 foot in the air.
Wow.
And then you got a bunch of them that are on pads, you know, elevated pads that are above the low water line, you know.
So
not for a disaster like this, but I mean,
so how many,
you know, your normal flooding.
Yeah, how many cell phone towers do you think were where the generators were flooded out? 20%.
Well, we don't know that. We also pull. They have on-site generators there that run everything. When those flood or something happens with those, and those go out or they're not working, then we pull generators to them, and we get them in there somehow or another, and we set the generators up and we run the power there until they can, either commercial power is rebuilt, or the other generator, the fixed generator that's on the site, is rebuilt or cleared to operate.
So, now what do? Put a generator in a boat and run it over there?
Absolutely.
And just leave it sitting.
We put generators in these boats and barges, and we actually picked them up with the helicopters and set them up on top of pads and hills.
So, have you had to do anything in the helicopter yet? That was always my favorite.
Not
kid.
Me.
That was not me.
I've been asked to do stuff, especially in Louisiana last year, but I don't like heights. My tower in my boat's as high as I go, so
I can honestly tell you, Fish, you know me, I'm terrified of heights. I go up on a ladder and get woozy, but I can get in a helicopter, boy, lean out, do whatever. I mean, for some reason or other, to me, that's a whole different ballgame. I love being in a helicopter. I think that's the most amazing part of the job I used to have was, you know, getting to ride with the military helicopters and the county and everybody else because, you know, I was chief coordinator for the feds. So, you know, that was a great part of the job. I love that.
Gotcha. Yeah, no, well, I don't need a helicopter. I drive the airboat. I got airboats.
Have you tried it?
No, I'm kidding.
You gotta go up one time and just check it out.
Sooner or later, I'll have to. I'll wait till then.
So, around Houston, we see it on TV, and
right. You
see all these people coming and going. I was too old to go. To be quite honest, I looked at Terry and said, you know, I'd really like to go there and help, but I'd end up, you know, because of the way my health is, I would be part of the problem, not the solution. So I ended up staying home. But a lot of volunteer people that you see out there doing stuff, or was it, it's hard to tell from the news, you know?
Right. I tell you what, it's great in the aspect of people. You know, especially tomorrow, the controversy and everything going on today. There's nothing going on. And it's everybody helping everybody, neighbor helping neighbor. It doesn't matter race, creed, gender, anything. It's just people trying to help people and make a bad, bad, bad situation better.
Well, it was funny because you look at the guys all in the boats and stuff. You see all them redneck boys out there. And like you say, I don't believe they looked at him and said, are you a Democrat or a Republican or are you a Hindu? I think the only thing that was ever said by all those, you know, that was probably the largest concentration of DARs I ever saw. Big dumbass rednecks, you know. And, you know, so much for the stereotype, huh?
Yep, it's out the window here.
Yeah, now you've
I may
worked,
get cut. I may get cut off of you here, I don't know. I'm going through the Border Patrol here.
Okay. Are you on Mexico or U.S.? U.S.
What's that?
You in Mexico or you in the U.S.?
Looks like I'm in the U.S. I'm coming back into the U.S. I didn't really know where I was, I guess.
Well, you know.
All right, I'm going to be talking. Yeah. I'm going to be talking to him in just a second here, so hold on.
Okay. We're waiting for Tom Fisher. He's talking to the customs border.
All right,
people.
That was that.
Well, Fish,
I just crossed the border.
Out of all the things, I don't believe anybody's going to mistake you for Mexican.
No.
I know a lot of Mexicans who have one heck of a southern accent, but buddy, you just ain't Mexican, I can tell you. You know, for either one of us, if being Mexican was cool, we'd be the most uncool people on the planet. So.
Well, my
extent of
Mexican or Spanish is
in the boots.
That's about it. Trace is hard. After that, I don't know.
I used to speak pretty good Spanish. I speak zero, but I did a lot of business, you know, Central America and stuff like that. So. You know, and I always figure when I travel, I want to learn some of the language. I hate being the one who comes into a country and doesn't know how to say one word of it. When I was in Hungary or Austria or Slovenia or Spain or France, I always, you know, whatever country I was in, I always wanted to learn some of the language. But anyway, so you're over there working on cell phone towers.
Well, we're doing a lot more than that. What we do is, well, we work for them on cell phone towers, and that's how we get out here and we get, you know, going and doing it. We do that. Don't get me wrong, 100%. But we also do, when we get off and our time is off, we do humanitarian work. We volunteer. We help. We do something. For instance, Matt Hay, did you see the airboat stuff on Facebook we did?
I haven't seen it, no.
Well, there was somebody, now Houston, people just can't wrap their heads around this. As you're talking about people watching TV and stuff, especially from Punta Gorda, Florida, you know, down that way. Houston's the fourth largest city in the United States. And when you're saying Houston's flooded, then both sides broke, so it's all flooded out. So when the lower part of Houston's flooded, you're talking like the state of Florida. Population's like, I don't know what the population is in Houston, but it's huge.
Over 6 like, million people.
Right. And they have, when they started out, they had over 200,000 plus stranded sitting on their roof. Or in their top of their two-story house, or sitting on the roof of their house, or their neighbor's house, or in their house on top of tables and couches and islands. And that's 200,000 people. Imagine 200,000 people out of the workforce, just not coming to work for a long time.
That's a little less than the entire population. I think Charlotte County's like 270,000 right now. But
right.
You can figure that's almost every man, woman, and child in Charlotte County.
There you go. And they're sitting on the roof. That's not including the ones that are just flooded or damaged. Those are the ones that are stranded 100%. We can go get them with boats. That's what everybody's doing. They're going, I don't know what they were doing, something like 10,000 a day pulling out. But man, we got a call that there was a lady in a wheelchair that was having really big problems down there, and I'm not really sure how the word got past. And you know Captain Matt Hay was at Outdoors, so we had the airboat there. It wasn't running a mission yet, so he hopped on it, and I didn't go with him. I was out in the field. I couldn't get there, so but he went and he ran through the GPS coordinates. So he ran the boat GPS coordinates and got there too. And this is at like 2 in the morning. I think she was having like major problems all of a sudden. So he went down to the airboat. They got her, put her on the airboat, wheelchair and everything, and they delivered her to the ER on the airboat.
Really?
Right to the emergency room door and delivered her there. And then if he was leaving, or I'm not sure if it was he was leaving or if it was another mission that night, but there was a guy, they were also stuck on overpasses. So they ran to the overpass because their houses were getting flooded and this and that, and they want to see, they didn't want to be stuck down there, so they got so many on the overpasses. And so this guy was flashing a light on the overpass, I guess, and got their attention, came up there, and his father was having a heart attack and was bleeding from the mouth, and they ended up getting him on the airboat and delivered him to the emergency room, and they actually worked on the guy on the bow of his boat for a while, and then they got him in there, and he's doing good now. I just saw a post that Matt's better half, Chanel, had put up, and they checked up on the guys, and I guess he's doing good, and he's in good spirits, and they got him under control.
Wow.
So we're doing a lot of side work. Stacy Jones, Ronnie Jones is, Ronnie Jones is, I would say, cousin's wife, whatever, Stacy Jones, this is a Punta Gorda there, Stacy and Billy. Her sister, Wendy, is out here. She needs some help. I just got some help for her. People are delivering diapers, and she's taking care of three kids from other people that had other things they had to do, so she's got the kids, and they're flooded out totally down there. So we just got a bunch of help, and we're going to take them on the boat, or we're going to get a boat to deliver them to her here this afternoon sometime.
Is there anything that I can do or people listening to the show can do? You guys need money, food, clothes?
Well, you know, I'm a big, you know, and people could take this, and everybody takes everything different, but I'm not a big money person. For instance, when a person on the street, say in Punta Gorda, walks up to me and says, hey, can I get some change from you? I want to, you know, get this down. I say, you know what? How about I take you over to Perkins and buy you breakfast? Or how about I take you and buy you lunch? Or if you do what, you need some gas, now you want some money for gas for your car for loading, how about I come over to the gas pump and I'll fill it up for you? That's how I like to do it. If you find anything coming this way, doesn't really matter who it comes through. If it's coming this way, it'll get there. But I like to put items on it. So if you send a box of diapers, you just put it with a bunch of boxes. Now you give it to whoever, and it gets distributed really well. Yeah. To the shelters and stuff.
Well, I was thinking about Ronnie Jones' family over there, if they need anything.
Well, Stacy Jones is she put a thing out on Facebook, too, on Stacy Jones. And she asked Punta Gorda if anybody in Punta Gorda could help her. And she explains her sister's situation. And a bunch of people have ordered something from Amazon. Are going to get it, and then I guess she's going to have to something to come out. And like I told Stacy, I told her once I saw it, I said, not a problem. I'm a long way from her, but we have workers down there working, so I'm going to see if I can't get somebody down there to do it. But I drove past her during the hurricane, and I'm on the west side. I'm on Corpus Christi and San Antonio and Houston. I'm running these routes over here, so she's on the opposite side of me.
Gotcha.
But we'll get her fixed up. I don't know how many drivers we have. I imagine we have over 100 drivers out here right now between here and out Louisiana. So there has to be somebody, one of our drivers or somebody that's down that way, and I want to see if I can't get her some emergency help tonight, and then we'll worry about getting the rest of the packages that come up to her when they get here.
All right. Well, I'll go on Facebook and try and find out. It's Stacy Jones, right?
Stacy Jones.
All right.
If you also call, she's the director or worker or head coordinator or something of K-Pons Jewelers. Oh, it's K-Pons Funeral Home. Funeral Home. That's the Stacy Jones that's just there.
All right. I actually just opened Facebook right now, Stacy Jones. And I think the NSA is a little too much into Facebook.
Who's that?
The NSA, because it's really hard to type anything into Facebook nowadays. It all.
I hit the microphone and talking to it. I yell at it because it's yelling at me.
Yeah, I get you. I think I found the right one. Picture her with a redfish and
yeah, her. You know me, she's gonna be a fishing.
Yep. All right, I found the right one. I'll look at.
If you scroll down, I'm sure you'll pick a post up there.
Yeah, Texas.
And if you call her
sister in Texas.
There you go.
Yep.
We're gonna try to get her taken care of. You know, the first wave of emergency stuff tonight, and then hopefully when stuff comes in up there, we'll deliver it down through there. They're in a lower case. They're like Galveston area, kind of sort of. So it's just, they're a long ways away from getting dry.
Yeah, I've been watching the news a lot, trying to figure out what was going on over there. And I know you headed out. Now, you did a lot of other disasters. I remember you went a blizzard a year or two ago.
Yep, we do. We were all hurricanes, and the blizzard came in. They were calling it the perfect storm, because it was Sandy. Hurricane Sandy ran up the eastern border.
Yep.
And then that blizzard came in from the west over there, and it all landed there pretty much around the Chicago area all at the same time. And so we did a hurricane, and while we're trying to do the hurricane, went through, and now we're trying to power everything up. The hurricane, the ice storm came, and imagine, a big, heavy, heavy snowstorm, ice storm on top of sopping wet trees and ground. So we had trees down everywhere. It was just snapping power lines, so we were trying to generate everything. But, you do what you can do. You just kind of keep everything going and help out in any way you can on the side.
It's one of the things people forget. Somebody's got to keep cell phones working.
That's what we do. That's 100% what we do.
This is, it's kind of funny, but out of all the jobs in the world, you don't think about the person out there putting gas and fuel in generators to keep the cell phone towers up so people can talk to each other.
Yep. Well, communication between people is great, but also your EMS and your first response and the police officers, they use them too.
Oh, yeah, but I mean,
and,
that's critical
infrastructure. Without that, you have total chaos.
I can honestly tell you, you know, after Charlie, one of the big things was being, you know, we would get out of town to where cell phones would work because nothing worked here. There was nothing left. So
absolutely,
we would leave town and then call family. And that's a big deal. It's a real big deal for people who don't understand that a simple phone call saying, yep, we're alive, everybody's okay, that means the world to people who are states and thousands of miles or hundreds of miles away wondering if you're alive or dead. So it's a bigger deal keeping those cell phone towers up. You know, life-saving, emergency, and all that is really the emphasis behind it. But the little phone call that says, hey, you know, Cousin Joe, we're alive. We're good.
Well, you know, all these super rescue things that are going on, like the one Matt did, the other one was just kind of a compound, but all these people, if you're stranded down there in Houston, you're sitting on your rooftop, and all of a sudden somebody has a low on insulin, diabetic, or allergic reaction happens, or another billion things that could happen down there, or they don't have their heart medicines, their blood pressure skyrockets, or their drops. I mean, anything that could happen for the however long they're going to be on their wrist till somebody actually takes them out of there and gets them to shelter, if they had a cell phone in their hand, there's their lifeline.
Yeah, it's absolutely staggering. So you're going to be in Texas for a while. We'll call you back and see how things are going. One last question, and
okay.
That is, you worked Superstorm Sandy. You've worked other hurricanes and
Katrina. We did them all. Mm-hmm.
You did Katrina. You did all these storms. How is this one, you know, it's hard to compare because everything's completely different, but I think the thing that staggers me about this one is the scope of it. I hear it's like 500 miles end to end.
Well, you kind of got a picture of it. You kind of understand it. But like I was saying before, Houston alone is the size of Florida. I mean, it's huge, probably square acres. I mean, it's just a massive. It's the fourth largest city in the United States, and that's just one big city. But I think I put up on Facebook again that the townships and the Punta Gordas and the Port Charlottes and the North Ports and the Sarasota, you know, the small things, I put up those that are wiped out with them too. I put them up on Facebook. I think there's like 102 blowing down from Houston to Galveston to Corpus Christi. That whole area is it's unpassable yet. We can't really... No, we're diving in every day, deep as we can get, but we just can't. We're in it, penetrating. Nobody's gone through it since the hurricane went through, and we're trying. But it's so big, and they got 50 plus inches of water, 55 inches of water.
Yeah, it's
and the whole thing is 55 inches of water, not here or there. And that's just it's like picking Charlotte Harbor up to where it's just completely dry and setting it down on top of Charlotte County.
Yeah.
And it's unbelievable. And it's different than all the other hurricanes because there's nothing you can do with this until it goes down. And you can't make it go down any faster than nature's going to allow it to do.
Well, I'm on your Facebook now. I'll share a bunch of stuff.
And yeah, I got a bunch of stuff up there.
Yeah, I'll share a bunch of the stuff up there on the, you know, the fishing frame.
Now, here's
stuff.
A scary thing. We have one out in the middle of the Caribbean, and then we have one that just came off of Africa. And the one off of Africa, the first one is scary enough, that's coming. But the one off of Africa is Charlie. Is taking
now, they just literally said that both the European and the American models are now looking more in agreement that it's going to go up the East Coast.
No, not the one in Africa.
Yes, that's the one. I just got done watching the news.
And that's the one that's just coming off the fucking formed yet.
Oh, the second
one? There's two out there.
Yeah.
Yeah, the second one.
Yeah.
There's another one out there that's just forming. That's not, I haven't got a name or anything yet. It's forming. It's going to. It's 100% going to. But that one's way south.
Yeah, it'll take
scary,
a look
scary,
at it.
Scary south. I don't know if I posted that one or not. I get a lot of that stuff.
I have. I've got on my webpage the two of the best hurricane sites I could find, and they were just amazing. So,
do they have the second one on Africa now?
Yeah, if you go on fishandfranks.com and then on the weather and tides, there's a hurricane spaghetti model one, and I forget what the name of it is. I can open up another window here. Let's see, weather and tides, and it says spaghetti models. It's Mike's weather page. That's absolutely awesome. And then the other one is, where do I got it here? Hurricane info. The first one's Mike's weather page, and the second one is Crown Weather Service, and that one's really, and it's showing Irma, which they think is going to go up the other side. There's one in the Gulf. But it's a storm coming up at you, and then the X on the one way down south, like you say.
The one way down south is the one that my company we're looking at.
Yeah.
Now we don't, like I said, that's for us homies at Bonagorda, being a Floridian down there or whatnot, looking at the one down south, way south.
Right.
But with what I do. If it goes to Carolinas, if it goes to the United States anywhere, it comes in, does anything, we got to get it. We service it. So,
well,
we have the whole United States.
Well, God bless you, Fish. It's nice to know somebody's out there keeping the communications open. And it's,
you'd be surprised how many people we have from Charlotte County out this way.
Well, doesn't commercial.
Brian Ball is a major player in it. He's one of the founders.
Yeah, Brian. Matt's
out here with me and Matt are over here with that's a different company. But you got a bunch of us. You got Brian Jones is out here. Matt Hague is out here. I'm out here. Matt's out here. Bo Johns is going to be out here. We got both Kevin and Jeremy Olson out here. We have there's a bunch more. Kirby is out here. Artie's out here. There's a ton of guides. Guides seem to do really well with this because they're used to not very many hours of sleep. They're great with using the GPS, and weather doesn't bother us. We go and all, the weather outdoors.
I did see one picture on yours from your Facebook where you were trying to cross a bridge at 2 o'clock in the morning going, nope.
That's like, there's a real bright light on the far side. That's my cubing that I got now on my roof. And it's shining across. And that's where it's shining is actually the base of the bridge that a floating, junk has hung up on that bridge. And you can't see any of the railings anymore. You can't. And what you're seeing is just the railings.
Wow. Nope.
It was at 2 in the morning. I went down. I've already been across it before. So I knew it was a one-lane bridge. You got to go down the thing to it and cross it, then back up the other side. The little lights that tell you if somebody's on or not, because only one car can go either way. And, at 2, it was clear to go, so I went down there, and got out there, and it was funny, because I got out there, and I looked at it, and I said, man, I crossed it before, so I said, well, that's pretty dang deep, but I got a bigger truck, so I said, I think I might have it. So I ease out on the bridge, and I ease out on the bridge, and I ease out on the bridge, and I get 4 or 5 truck lengths out on the bridge, and I said, I couldn't see it anymore, and I said, well, I'm going to get out, and I'll just kind of, the water's rolling through there, as you can see in the picture, and I said, I was going to get out and make sure that it's still there. So I get out and take my shoes and socks off and hop out there. I start wading out there. And I get just about where it starts getting a little deeper right there before it does, it makes a turn. And I don't know what it was. And I'm not very spooky, but something touched me. He's a warrant. It was probably just a tree limb swinging by, you know, at 30 miles an hour. But something touched me. And I went back to the truck. Like a 2-year-old girl. I didn't let the lady from Ohio on the beach that just stepped on a sand dollar. I come on dude. I got back to the truck and I said, no, I'll do this tomorrow in the daylight, which I didn't do.
I cannot. I'm just sharing that on my Facebook now. I've got the pictures of it up, but it's just funny because I know exactly how you feel. Exactly how you feel. I was pushing a boat out from Port Charlotte Beach, and we had been shark fishing and got hung up, and I was with another guy in a boat, and I had maybe 6 things go up and, you know, like rub on my legs while I'm pushing that boat at 2 o'clock in the morning. And I can tell you, you about pucker up. You couldn't drive a stick pin up there with a sledgehammer.
I'm telling you, I don't know what it was, but I was being good, ready, thinking about anything, just worrying about that bridge was still intact or not. And just thought about all of a sudden that thing brushed the back of my leg. I looked like a cat that got scared. I went straight up at the end. I screamed like a 2-year-old girl. I got back in the truck and left.
I don't believe you, Fish. I gotta tell you, grande huevos, buddy, big cojones. Well, I'm gonna let you go. I know you got a long ways to drive.
Feel free to post and check, look at all the videos I put up and use any of that you want to.
Yeah.
And get a hold of Stacy and maybe we can start something, drive and send some stuff out here or something. It might be a drop-off spot for a truck going on a certain day or something, so you don't have to hold it, but they can bring it that day, pack it, and leave it. Pack it and let it go or something. We can bring a truck by there or something. Or do something, but even with your way, we're in it for the long haul.
If I can get an address from her where we can ship to, general delivery at a store or something,
that would be imperative.
Well,
that'd be awesome.
It would save everybody a ton of money because we can go on the internet, buy all this stuff, have it shipped there for free, and it's not that I'm worried about saving the money. We can buy a lot more stuff.
Amazon will ship it right to wherever, as far as they can get in, you know what I'm saying?
So,
and if we set something, I'm sure there's stuff set up all over. I'm really proud of Florida, though. Of course, we left early, but, there's so many people in these houses, and they made the police and the EMS and the state of Texas put the plea out. If you have a boat and you can operate it, we need you. And I saw on Facebook on somebody else's post, and there was a line of boats coming out of Florida that was like 3.5 miles long.
Oh, yeah. No,
John boats and all that, and they all got a convoy, and they all came from Florida, and they're actually, and they're using them. I mean, it's no joke. They're using every single boat. All you got to do is walk up there, show them your driver's license, tell them what you want to do. They'll assign you somebody, and you'll start working on getting people out, and you can captain your boat, and I know it's you dedicate your time and you don't get paid for it, but that's part of it. I mean, just help your neighbor out.
Well, why would you even consider getting paid for it? I don't know. So, but at least, Charles and Vicky over at Rockport, we've been keeping in touch with them because Rockport Rattler is in Rockport, Texas.
You know,
their warehouse has been destroyed. We're in contact with them.
Send me their name and or send me their number and their names and stuff like that. I was in Rockport day before yesterday. I'll probably be there tomorrow on my route.
All right.
I went right through Rockport. I was all down through there, and I just did some towers in Rockport yesterday or day before yesterday. I'm not sure. It all runs together. We're working 24-hour shifts out here. And it's crazy because I left last Friday at 12 o'clock. Well, I left before that, but I got on at 12 o'clock. So today at 12 o'clock would have been a solid week. And I think my downtime right now is like 21 hours of sleep time for this week.
You're young and tough, though, Fish. You can handle it.
We're running wide open out here. So what I'm saying is we just got a lot, and it's not going anywhere. I said, days are running into days and this and that. But I was at Rockport the other day, and I think I was talking to somebody at Fisher Franks there or something. And I asked her, give me your name and number. They were on Facebook. And I said, well, give me your name and number because I'm going through there. But I went all down through there. So,
if anybody
from Fisher Franks that comes in the store or anybody down there hears this or watches the radio show, you got somebody in Texas that's down below the thing, you know, make a list of them so we can they can check them out. And they do the, have you ever seen the Stay Safe or I'm Safe thing I think it's Facebook that actually put it up. And you can say you're safe. It's called Tell Your Loved Ones or something like that. It's an app. And if you go on it and you download it, then it has a GPS on you. And once you have the GPS on your phone, it's turned on so they can see you. And it'll ask you every so often, 24 hours or something, you know, to check in. So you check in saying you're good. And then people can see, yesterday at 4 o'clock, she was fine.
Okay. All right. Well, Fish, I'm going to let you go. I appreciate your time. I will call you back periodically over the course of time and find out how things are shaping up over there in Texas. It's a little, you're my roving reporter because I'm too old to be there myself, and it's killing me. I mean, I went to the oil spill. I went to several other disasters, and I'm used to working these things, being out there, being involved, and this getting old stuff sucks.
I hear you.
So.
Well, this whole disaster thing sucks, too. Also, you know my brother, Matt Hayes, with the Matt Outdoors. Get a hold of him. He can give you some good info, and he's at the command center up in there. Yeah. And he's closer to the evacuation stuff than I am. I'm more out here on the edges at this moment. I'll be in there later on, but right now I'm on the outside edges.
All right. Well, I'll call Matt a little bit later and see how he's doing.
Sounds good.
All right. See you later, Fish.
All right.
Thank you much.
Okay.
And Fish and Frank, and that's Captain Tom Fisher on the phone when he gets done with the hurricane disaster. If you want to book somebody, there's nobody more fun to fish with than Fish. So when he gets back to town, we'll let you all know he's back, and you guys can hire him and, you know, go out and have just a great day catching fish with Captain Tom. And we'll see you later, Fish. Thank you, buddy.
Okay. Bye-bye.